The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yoav Drian.
Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Siman Lamed Zayin, Hilchos Tvilas Kevim. These are the halachos of immersing utensils, the halachos of toveling, and as a short preview or a short introduction to this siman, I would like to discuss the pasuk where these halachos come from. The pasuk is found in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Chaf Gimel. That is Bamidbar 31:23. Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh ta'aviru ba'esh v'taher. Ach b'mei nida yischata, v'chol asher lo yavo v'esh ta'aviru b'mayim. Everything which comes in contact with fire, you must put in contact with fire, you must pass through fire, and it will be purified. However, it must also be purified with waters fit for a nida. And everything which does not go through fire must be passed through water. This enigmatic pasuk, is again only cryptic when taken out of context, this describes what the Jews needed to do with the spoils of the Battle of Midian. The Jews, in the beginning of their conquest of Eretz Yisrael, were captured spoils of war. They captured all sorts of manner of utensils. And Hashem gives instructions to the Jewish people. How do they have to convert these utensils, these spoils of war, and enable them for Jewish use? And the way that that this must happen is that these utensils must be koshered. They must have the non-kosher item, the treif item, purged from it. That was the first section. Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, that which passes through fire, it has to be purified. And we're going to see that later in the siman also. And also, the ach b'mei nida yischata, that's the second part. That is that they also must be tovel, they must be immersed in a ritual mikvah, and that is what is required of the utensils. So with that introduction, the Torah says this is what must be done to the utensils of Midian, and of course we know that this is applicable to all utensils subsequently. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph. Halokeach kelim hashayachim le'seuda migoy. Somebody who takes utensils that are usable for a se'uda, usable for food, for a meal, from a non-Jew. Afilu hem kelim chadashim, even if they are brand new. So this requirement is not an issue of whether or not the utensils were kosher. It has nothing to do with whether they were used or new, whether they were used for non-kosher items or they're brand new and have no treif flavor at all. Irrelevant. This is a requirement which applies to something which was taken from a non-Jew. Taken meaning purchased, bought, received as a gift, or any other ownership transfer. Im hem shel minei matachos, if they are a type of metal, o zechuchis, or they are glass, aser lehishtamish bahen shum tashmish, it is forbidden to use them for any purpose, afilu bitzonein, even using them cold, meaning it's not a question of using it hot, which would be a kashrus issue, but even using them cold, which is not a kashrus issue, ad shetovlin osan b'ma'ayan o b'mikveh, it is forbidden to use them until one immerses them in a ma'ayan, in a spring, a natural spring, or a well, o b'mikveh, or in a mikveh, right, a ritual bath, b'makom shekasher letvilas ishanida, in a mikveh which is kosher for the immersion of a woman who is a nida. Now, this is, we're just going to refer to it as a mikveh for the full in-depth study of what makes a mikveh, a kosher mikveh or not, or the requirements thereof, that's outside the scope of this year. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is pointing out it is the same level of requirements, meaning that the mikveh must be kosher enough for a woman to dip in, and this is the kind of mikveh you have to use for these utensils. And why? Kedei sheyetzu mitumaso shel hagoy lekedushaso shel Yisrael. So that the utensils leave or finish or, somehow depart the impurity of the non-Jew and enter into the holiness of use of a Jew. It's almost like a conversion of sorts. Before utensils can be used by a Jew, they must be converted, dipped into the mikveh, so that now they emerge as Jewishly enabled utensils. And not only is this a requirement, but rather it is a specific positive commandment. One must, one is required to do it, but also it is, not a positive commandment, but rather, actually it is a positive commandment, but it is a specific mitzvah, and therefore it also requires a blessing. V'kodem ha-tvila mevarchen, and before the tvila, one makes the following blessing, al kli echad, if you are immersing one utensil, then you say, asher ki deshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al tvilas keli. You say, the bracha, baruch atah Hashem, elkeinu melech ha'olam, asher ki deshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, and then you finish, al tvilas keli, who has commanded us to immerse a utensil. Keli in the singular. V'al shnayim o yoseir, but if there are two or more utensils, mevarchin asher ki deshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al tvilas kelim. You make the blessing, that, it sanctifies with the commandments and commanded us to immerse utensils, in the plural. This is the opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that one makes a distinction and one makes a blessing differently for a single utensil and for multiple utensils. There are other opinions also. There are some opinions that claim that the blessing is always made in the plural because the commandment is to immerse our utensils, even if currently I'm only immersing one. And since there is such a requirement, there are some people who make sure that they always immerse two utensils or more, so that they could always, be able to say the blessing in the plural without any fear of making a mistake. I would suggest that, obviously, for all matters of practical halacha, one should consult a competent halachic authority. So we saw it is a requirement to immerse utensils before using them, and this requirement is a specific commandment, and that's why there is also a blessing that is made prior to engaging in this activity. Okay, Sif Beis. Sif Beis, Kevan Sheha Kelim Tzrichin Tvila. Since the utensils require being immersed, Davka B'makom Shekasher L'Tvilas Nashim. Specifically in a place which is kosher for the immersion of women, right? We're talking about a real kosher mikvah here. Lachain, therefore, tzrichen lizoher. One must be very careful. Shelo lehatzbila, not to immerse them binharos in the rivers, b'sha'ashem gedolim mehagshamim, at a time that they are swollen, or large, literally, from the rains, v'havsharas shlagim, and from the thawing out of the snows. And this is very common before Pesach, Shahnaharas Gedolim, because the rivers are swollen, Vetolan Sham Kalim, and people do immerse their utensils there, Ve'eno Nachon, and this is incorrect. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch points out that, as we've said before, this immersion is 100% required, and as a real deal requirement, it has to be discharged properly. You can't just do it on the fly, see any old puddle of water and drop it in. Rather, it has to be a kosher mikvah, a place which is kosher for the immersion of women. And since not every time a river is swollen running large, running up its banks because of extra rainfall or thawing snows or any old thing, not every time is that a kosher mikvah. And so the caution is that one must make sure that the place of immersion is a kosher mikvah. And he's cautioning here specifically because, I guess, Pesach time, people get a lot of new utensils, and it was common practice, I guess, in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch time for people to just go to the river and start dunking, and that, of course, is a problem because not in every scenario is the river and the river overflow a good place to tovel. For our practical purposes, one should just make sure that wherever the utensil is toveled, it be a kosher mikvah. And, we can discuss the kashrus of mikvah with a local halachic authority. Sif Gimel. Klei eitz einan tzrichen tefila. Wooden utensils do not require immersion. Right, as we said in Sif Aleph, metal and glass only. Metal, because the Torah mentions metal, in the pasuk preceding the pasuk that we read, actually, discusses specifically metal utensils. Glass, Chazal say that glass is similar to metal in that they can both be melted down and reshaped, and that's why glass is required of rabbinic origin, that glass also needs to be immersed before use. But something which is neither of those, something which is wooden, Einan Trichin Tvila, does not require tovling at all. It needs not be immersed. It can be used straight from the package. Ve'im yesh aleihem chashukei barzel. And if they have some sort of metal ornamentation, or handles, or things like that, Trichin Tvila, they do require immersion, below bracha, but without a blessing. It is unclear whether this metallic part, or whatever it is, makes a metallic utensil. And so therefore, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is erring on the side of caution. He says, listen, it's not entirely wood. It also has metal. Now, metal is a substance which requires immersing, but wood is a substance which does not require immersing. So therefore, immerse it, but don't make the blessing, because obviously I don't want to make a blessing in vain. Klei cheres, now earthenware utensils, gam kein einan tzrichin tefillah, they also do not require immersion. However, ve'im metzupim mibifnim ba'avar, but if they are coated inside with avar, which is this stuff, shekorin glazerit, that they call glazing, tzrichin tefillah below bracha. So most earthenware things that we have, clay things that we have, are glazed. And glazing, exactly as it sounds, is a thin coat of glass that is actually painted on, and then when it's fired up, hardens into glass. And that says tzrichin tefillah below bracha. It requires immersion because, again, it's a clay or an earthenware utensil. So that would not require immersing. However, there's a glazing on it, and glass is a required substance. And so, basically, erring on the side of caution, you immerse the item, because the glass might need immersion, but I don't make the blessing because it's unclear whether the glass is sufficient to stand alone as its own utensil. And therefore, I don't want to say a blessing in vain until I'll immerse without a blessing. Vechen clay porcelain. And this is also the case for porcelain or fine china, that it should be immersed without a blessing. Sif Dalet. Imhu kli yashan. If it is an old utensil. Now, old does not mean old, rather it means used, as the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch elaborates, shenishtanish bo hagoy, that the non-Jew has used it, beofen, in such a fashion, shetzarech hechsher, that it needs to be koshered, behag'ala o libun, with two different types of koshering procedures that he mentions here. Hag'ala is the boiling procedure, libun is even hotter, it has to be come into contact with direct heat, and basically get white hot. Those are koshering methods or koshering methods that are intended to purge the non-kosher flavor from within the item. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, tzrichen lahachshiro kodem. First, the koshering procedure must be followed. First, it must be koshered. Ve'achar kach letavlo, and then only afterwards should it be immersed. That only afterwards should the item be dipped into the mikveh. Only once it has already been koshered from all its treif flavorings. If hey, im shoel socher kli migoy, eino tzarech tefillah. If one is only borrowing or renting a utensil from a non-Jew, it does not require immersion. Meaning the requirement of immersion devolves upon the owner of the item, not the person using it. For example, let's say you go into a hotel or a motel, right? You're staying the night at a Marriott motel somewhere, right? So in the bathroom, there is a glass cup that they leave you there on the counter. Now, that glass cup belongs to Marriott Corporation or whoever it is, right? But it is somebody who is a non-Jew, and therefore, I don't need to immerse that glass before taking a drink of cold water, right? Because I'm not the owner of it. I am just, right? I'm actually renting it with the room. It comes with the room. That's fine. I don't need to go and immerse it before using it. However, if I was the owner of that glass, I would have to immerse it before drinking from it, even cold water, as we said before in Sif Aleph. V'im shoel o socher kelim mechinvani Yisrael, but let's say I am borrowing or renting utensils from a Jewish merchant, whatever you know this be, whether it be a Jewish motel or hotel, or maybe the caterer who's renting out things, or it's a rental service, whatever it is, tzrichin tvila below bracha. They require immersion, but there is no blessing made. The reason that I don't make a blessing is because I'm not the owner. Now, since they're owned by a Jew, they do require the immersion, and I can't really get away with using them without it. However, I don't make the blessing because I'm not the owner. Right? So I can't say who has commanded us to immerse these utensils because I am not the recipient of the commandment, the owner is. And furthermore, it says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, v'achenvani yodia zos l'mishi yikne acharkach, the merchant should make it known to whoever buys them afterwards that they were already immersed, shelo yitbalehu sheinis bebracha, that a person should not, God forbid, immerse them a second time and make a blessing. Right? The immersion is not a problem. You can immerse as many times as you want, but I don't want to make a blessing in vain. And therefore, he says, he cautions, make sure that if you do that, you also tell them that it has been done so that they should not make a blessing on the immersion. That will be a blessing in vain. Sif Vav. Yisrael Hamachzik Hota. A Jew who owns or manages a hota, which in parentheses says they're Beis Yitzika, a forge or a kiln, or really more like a factory where they make glass. She'osen sham klei zechukas. So a place where they make glass, a workshop or a factory where they make glass. V'hapo'alim hameinam yehudim. Now the workers are non-Jews, so I've got like a catch 22. The owner is a Jew. Now we know that if a Jew makes a utensil, it does not require immersion. However, practically, right, the actual maker of the utensil is the non-Jewish worker. And so, erring on the side of caution, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, tzrich and tvila below bracha. They require immersion, but one does not make a blessing. And for the same reason that they require the immersion because it's a glass utensil, which is a required substance, and it is made by a non-Jew, and therefore that requires immersion. However, because a Jew owns it, so therefore it's almost like it's unclear whether it really needs the immersion, so immerse it on the side of caution, but don't make a blessing, because again, I err on the side of caution, I don't want to make a blessing in vain. It's Zion. Yisrael shenasan kesef oshar mine mateches le'uman goy, a Jew who makes, who gives silver, and here kesef doesn't mean money, it means silver, or any other metal, for that matter, to a non-Jewish artisan, a non-Jewish metal worker, a silversmith or whatever, shiyasa lo kli, that he should make for him a utensil, oshiyatakein lo kli, or that he should fix an existing utensil. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is quick to point out that this fixing is not just any old thing. It's not like, let's say I gave my my silver Kiddush cup to an artisan to engrave something on it. That's not fixing. We're talking about fixing a utensil, shehaya nakuv, that had a hole in it. Nakuv has a hole. Velo haya machzik revius. And it was so damaged that it would not have contained a revius, which is a basic measure of liquid, somewhere around 3 fluid ounces. And so, basically, when the artisan fixes it, what the artisan is doing is, in fact, remaking it. That's why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is careful to point out the degenerated state that the utensil was in. The utensil was in such a state as to not be usable at all. It couldn't contain a revius, it couldn't even hold a basic amount of liquid. And then when the non-Jewish artisan fixes it, the silversmith patches it up or whatever it is, so that's considered that he makes it, new, and then tzrichim tvila below bracha. It requires immersion, but again, no blessing is made because it was under my ownership the whole time. Right? The same thing, if I gave him metal to make a new utensil or he's using existing metal to fix my existing utensil, all the same thing. It is it's a scenario where if the item was changed by a non-Jew, and therefore it would require immersion. Right? Not so, by the way, if it was just a minor alteration and the utensil was usable the whole time. The utensil was usable the whole time, so then the non-Jewish artisan did not recreate it, and then it would not need immersion at all. Se'if ches. Eino tzvarech tvila ela kli shemishtamshem bo lema'achal. This is the meat and potatoes of the issue here, what we called earlier clay suda, or utensils that are used for eating. Here we're going to define it more specifically, right? If I get a stainless steel watch band, so I don't have to tovel that, right? Why? Because eino tzarech tvila, it does not require tvila, only a utensil which is used for food, right? That's a convoluted way of saying, it's convoluted when we translate it literally into English, but in Hebrew it makes sense. Only a utensil that is used for the preparation or consumption of food needs to be immersed. Now, not only preparation and consumption of food, but specifically that it is ready to eat. Shehu ra'ui la'achlo miyad, that the food is able to be eaten immediately. Bli shum tikkun acher, it does not require a further adjustment or a further fixture. Meaning, it's not just something which is not ready to eat. It is something which could be eaten right now. And he gives examples. Aval habarzelim, but the metal items, shematakenen bohem es hamatos, v'shechotchen bohem es ha'isa, v'hamachat shetofren bo mul yasa, v'chayotza bohen, einan tzrichen tvila. However, these are a few examples, the metal things that you use to shape the matzos, or it's possible that he's talking here about the reddles, the things that you poke the holes in the matzos, right? I mean, the matzos come with holes, something has to poke those holes, that item. Or the choppers or whatever it is that cuts the dough. All those are different types of things which are only used in an item which is not yet ready to eat. Right? Raw dough is not yet ready to eat, and therefore these items are precluded from the immediate consumption of food. Right? They're not utensils for immediate consumption. They're more like food production, two steps removed. The last example here he gives a needle, a machat, which you sew up. Mulyasa is like a filled item. He's talking about kishka. He's talking about, the intestine, right? Certainly nowadays, I think most kishka or stuffed derma, or whatever they call it, is in a plastic sleeve that they bake. But back then, it was really stuffed intestine, and obviously when you lay the thing out and you have to stuff it with the stuff, you need to sew it up. So if you use a metal needle to sew up something which is then going to be baked or cooked and eaten, so that metal utensil is used for the preparation of food. However, at the time when you use the needle, the food in question is not ready to be consumed. It still needs what they call a tikkun acher. It still needs a further issue, and so therefore it does not require tevila. Einan tzrichen tevila, does not require tevila. All these items do not require tevila because they are not for the preparation of immediately consumable food. Aval, continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, saken shel shchita, but a knife which is used for shechting, for ritual slaughter, the saken shemafshiten bo, and a knife which is used for filleting or for skinning an animal, since one is able to use this knife for a ready and complete food, and also trays or slats that matzahs are placed on them, they require immersion, but no blessing is made. The reason is because the knives and the platters are able to be used for ready-made food. So let's say I have a knife which is very good for skinning an animal, right? It's a particular type of blade or thickness or whatever it is. I'm not an expert on animal skinning. But I could very well also use that knife just to cut my steak. So since that knife is usable for food, and I already use it for meat, it's not like it's a letter opener that I keep on my desk and it has nothing to do with food. But it is used for food. It's just usually used for food one step before immediately consumable. But since I could use it for immediately consumable, then, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, those items, they should be immersed, but no blessing is made because, again, of this this unclarity of what you're going to use it for. Udreifus, which he calls there a chatzuva, shema'amidin alav esakdera, something that you put the pot on. right? If you, whether you have a gas range top or an electric stove top, either way, certainly not either way, but rather with a gas top, so obviously there's a metal frame that you put the pot on, and the gas fire is right beneath it. That metal frame there, which exists, you know, the grate or whatever you want to call it, it exists to hold the pot above the fire. Kevan she'ena machal ba'atmo nogea bo, since the food itself never touches it, it's something which exists only to place the pot on. Eino tzarach tvila, it does not require immersion, even though it's a metal thing and it is used in the vicinity of preparation of food. Doesn't matter. It does not require immersion because it is the food never comes in contact with it. Aval, however, shipud shel mateches, but a metal a skewer, shetzolin alav baser, that you use to roast meat, tzarech tvila bibracha. It requires immersion, and you make a blessing. Meaning, a skewer, if somebody has, you know, keeps skewers in the house that you like to grill things on or whatever it is, those absolutely require immersion. Not only do they require immersion, but it's not even a suffix. It's not a questionable circumstance. It's not a circumstance which one is unclear about, and therefore, you know, we'll immerse it, but we won't make the blessing. No. This is clear. It's used for the immediate preparation in the preparation of immediately consumable food, right? Because when I take the meat off the skewer, so then it's consumable, I can eat it. So therefore, the skewer is just like a piece of silverware, it absolutely requires immersion, and I make a blessing, because it is a clear-cut case. Yesh omrim, right, in the last, example here in Sifches, there are those that say, the klei zechuches gedolim, large glass items, and he puts here in parentheses, bakbukim, bottles, basically big pitchers, big glass pitchers, she'en shosin mitochan, that you don't drink from them, right? If I have a big glass pitcher, like a big Kool-Aid pitcher, right, that I don't drink directly from the pitcher, rak machzikin bohen es hamashkos. Rather, I just use it to hold the beverages, le'aros mehen letocha kosos, to pour from them into the cups. In such a scenario, lo chashivi klei suda, they are not considered utensils of a meal, ve'ino tzarech tvila, and they do not require tvila. That is one opinion, right? He brings this down as a yesh omrim. There are those that say that a glass pitcher, which is only used to pour out into other cups and is never directly drunk from, does not require immersion. V'yesh omrim, and there are those that say, he says, that they do require immersion. And therefore, the Kitz Shulchan Aruch concludes, v'yesh lahatbilan, and so one should immerse them, below bracha, but without a blessing, for the same reason we've been saying all along, this is a questionable circumstance. I'll err on the side of caution. Glass is a required material. I'm going to immerse them, but I will not make a blessing because it is unclear if they're required or not. Sif Tes. Rechaim shel pilpilin tzarech tvila mishum hamateches. And here we get into a fantastic issue, a fantastic example. A pepper grinder, right? He's talking about a little pepper mill, a pepper grinder, and he says that it requires immersion because of the metal. Meaning, we're talking, usually pepper mills are wood, that is a very common material for pepper mills, but the grinding mechanism on the inside, right, that which grinds together and grinds the peppercorn to make the freshly ground pepper, that is metal. And says, because of the metal, it requires immersion. Now, contrast this to what we said earlier in Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel was talking about wooden utensils that have metal ornamentation or metal handles. There, the metal is totally inferior to the wood in terms of its use in the item. The metal over there is either purely decorative or even as a handle, it is only secondary in function. It is not necessary for the functioning of the utensil. And that's why he says that even if you're going to immerse it, you certainly don't make a blessing. Here, we're talking about where the metallic part, the metallic grindstones or grind wheels or however they do it, is an integral part of the functioning of the utensil. And of course, ground pepper is a ready-to-eat food, so it's certainly considered something which is used for the preparation of immediately consumable food, and it needs immersing. And it needs immersing with a blessing. Aval hatachton, but the bottom part of the pepper mill, shemekavel es hatavlin, that is the recipient of the ground pepper, kevan shehu shalit, since it is wood, ein tzarech tevila. Right? If it's a two part, pepper mill, and basically there's one part that you grind it, and the bottom is where it receives, right? It's where the freshly ground pepper falls into. That receptacle, if it is purely wood, it doesn't need to be immersed at all, because it is a separate part of the utensil, and it is wood, which is an exempt material. No immersion necessary. He finishes off the sif by saying Rechaim shel kafeh, but a coffee grinder yesh litbo below bracha. You should immerse it, but not make a blessing. This is, again, the questionable issue with the coffee grinder, is that whether or not coffee is considered a consumable food. Because I know that coffee grounds I don't eat, rather I pass water through them and I drink that water. So in that scenario, certainly the metal grinding, the actual mill, the grinder, definitely needs immersion, because metal is a required substance and the metal is a fundamental part of the item. However, it's unclear if this is considered immediate consumption or not immediate consumption, because coffee grounds are first I have to pass water through them and then I can drink them. So he says you should immerse it, but not make a blessing. So if yud, tzrichim hashkiach kodem atvila shiyeh kli naki, one should observe before the immersion that the utensil is clean. V'lo yehe alav shum lichluch o chaluda, and there should be no dirt or rust upon it. In parentheses here, ach roshem chaluda, but if there is a stain of rust, o shacharuris ba'alma, or there's some sort of blackness, basically some sort of blackness stain there, shadarko b'kach, which is, naturally occurring, ve'ein makpidin alav, and one is totally oblivious to it, one does not care that stain is there, eino mazik, it does not harm. Meaning that the utensil before it is immersed has to go into the water, and all parts of the utensil have to touch the water. So if I have a patch of rust, or if I have some other dirt, that's sitting there, so then whatever is under the dirt or under the rust is not coming in contact with the water, and I have an invalid immersion. So what I need to do is make sure that it's all clean and clear. Now let's say I scratched away all the rust, but it is discolored from rust. Discoloration is not a problem. That's what he says. There's no issue there, because as long as I don't care about it, as long as the utensil functions perfectly well without it, meaning the utensil functions perfectly well with this discoloration, and I don't mind the discoloration is there, then the discoloration does not form what we call is a chatzitza. Right? A chatzitza, that is some form of blockage or stoppage, something which prevents the water from touching all parts of the utensil. So, since it does not form that, then the immersion would be valid. Utsrichen litzbo kol hakli b'pam achas. And you need to immerse the entire utensil at one time. Shiyeh kulo b'mayim, that the entire thing should be in the water. Ukli shiyesh lo yad, and a utensil that has a handle. Tzarech lios im hayad b'pam achas kulo b'mayim. It needs to be the entire utensil and the handle, the whole thing, in. V'ha'adam, and a person. Hatovel ve'ochez akli biyado, the person who is immersing the utensil and holding it in his hand, tzarech litbo mitchila yado b'makom shu tovel. First, he should immerse his hand so that his hand is wet, and then if his hand is wet, so then when he's gripping the utensil, so then in the water, so basically the water that is in the mikveh that he's dipping touches the water that is underneath his hand, because his hand is still wet from the immersing, and so it basically becomes one unbroken body of water all around the utensil, even underneath his fingers. But if his hand is dry when he immerses it, so then the part underneath his fingers is still dry, and it was not a good immersion. V'lo yochazes akli b'koach, and you should not hold the utensil in a very firm grip, ela b'dibuk beinoni, rather in a medium grip. I think he's saying medium grip here, because obviously if you hold it in a light grip, it'll fall and then you'll lose it, and that's no good. But rather not in a firm grip, because you want the water to flow freely underneath your fingers. Ve'im tovlim al yedei masha koshrim es akli b'chevel, and if you immerse in such a fashion, because you tie the utensil with a rope and then lower it down to the well or mikveh or whatever it is, kigon shetovlim be'er, like those who immerse in a well, tzrichan le'ashkiach, you need to pay attention, you need to observe, shiyeh kesher rafui, that the knot should be loose, Sheyuchu hamayim lavo b'kol makom hakeli, that the water should get to every part of the utensil. Right? That's the practical issue here, that they have to make sure that it is a good immersion. A good immersion means the water comes in contact with every part of the utensil, and there is nothing that is holding the utensil and preventing it. Just as a word of advice, it's very simple. If you rather have both your hands in the water and you pass the utensil from hand to hand while under the water, because then certainly when you're passing the utensil from one hand to the next, so as your new hand is holding it, your new hand is actually holding the water around the utensil, and the utensil is then fully immersed. Sif Yud Aleph. Im Tovel Kelim Shepihem Tsar, if you are immersing utensils that have a very narrow opening, like bottles or a thin carafe or something like that, tzarech lehashgiach, one should be observant, shiyu v'mayim ad shiyismalu mayim, that they need to be placed in there until all the air bubbles come out and the water gushes in and coats the entire inside of the utensil. Ki tzarech sheyavo hamayim akol akli mibifnim umibachutz, because the water must reach the entire utensil inside and out. So if you beis, katan uktana einan ne'emanim al tefilas kelim. A katan and a ktana, those who have not yet reached the age of mitzvos, a boy underneath 13 in a day, a girl underneath 12 in a day, they are not reliable for the immersing of utensils. Now, the larger issue of reliability in terms of kashrus and immersing and so on and so forth is outside the scope of this shiur, but as a quick understanding, the immersing is a requirement. Since it's a requirement, I must have somebody who has reliability. Now, that doesn't mean trust, right? If a 10-year-old kid tells you, oh, I immersed it in the mikvah, I took it and I dipped it in and everything, it doesn't mean you don't believe him. You believe him. I believe him. He's a good kid. He's telling the truth. I'm sure he is. That doesn't mean that I can rely on it. In order to rely on it, it needed to have been done by somebody who is required to do it. And so since the kid is underneath the age of mitzvos, I can't rely on it. I can believe it, I can trust him, but I can't rely on it. Rather, it has to be redone. Now, as a parenthetical note that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention, but it's not that he's forbidden to do it, meaning that if you go to immerse utensils, so you can take a child who's under the age of mitzvos with you, and they can immerse things under your watchful eye, and that's fine. You can both do it, double barrel, great, no problem. The point is that you cannot send them alone, because if you did, then you would be relying on their actions of immersion, and you're not allowed to rely on them. They don't possess halachic reliability. Le'asif, sif yud gimel, Osur lehatzbil kli b'Shabbos v'yomtov. It is forbidden to immerse a utensil on Shabbos and Yomtov. V'im shachach lehatzbila mikodeh. And if you've forgotten to immerse it before Shabbos and Yomtov, yitneu lenachri b'matana. You can give it to a non-Jew as a gift. V'yachzer v'yishalenu mimenu. And then you may borrow it conveniently, during Shabbos and Yomtov. Because at that point, you have borrowed the item, and so it's under the possession of a non-Jew, so it's therefore exempt from the requirement of tefillah. Ve'im hu kli sheroi lehavibo mayim b'makom shmutar l'taltel. Now, if it is a utensil that is designed actually to hold water, and you're talking about a place where there is an eruv, one is allowed to carry, so one could actually go and draw water from the mikveh, ve'yovi lebeiso, and then bring it to your house, delo michzi kematbo, because it doesn't look like you're immersing your utensil. And obviously you don't make a blessing of immersing. Now, as a side note, what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is saying is that obviously you're not allowed to immerse a utensil on Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is because it seems like you're fixing it. Because before I immerse it, I can't use it. Now I can use it. Fixing something is a Shabbos and Yom Tov prohibition, and that's something that I cannot do. However, if I can do it in such a fashion that it looks like I'm just drawing water from the well, so then he permits it. Obviously, before one engages in such an activity nowadays, a halachic authority should be consulted whether or not, nowadays we don't really draw water from wells so frequently, and so therefore it's unclear whether or not this is a practical solution. But point being is that the immersion, if it were to take place, would not receive the blessing, because that would sort of tip your hand and declare that you were in fact intending to immerse it, and that intent would result in the Shabbos prohibition of fixing. That was Sif Yud Gimel, and that was Siman Lamed Zayin.